Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man, Adam, came death, spiritual death, by man, Jesus, came also the resurrection of the dead, spiritual life. For as in Adam all die, spiritual death, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The born again church believers. The church believers. You see, I'm putting in parentheses some things that aren't in the word, but I'm making it clear. I want to make it clear this morning the meaning of some of these things. The born again believer, the church. Verse 24, then cometh the end, when he, Jesus, shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he, Jesus, shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Verse 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Mark 16:9 says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which God the Father wrought in Christ when he, God the Father, raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, God the Father's kindness toward us through Jesus, Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his, God the Father, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, the kingdom. You see, the whole family in heaven and earth is the kingdom of God. The whole family. Everybody that's up there and everybody that's here is the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom, not just a building. It's people, kingdom people. Okay, had to stop and say something about that. I'll tell you what, we're a part of a big kingdom. So he's getting ready to present the kingdom, Jesus says, and that he, the God the Father, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with past knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And that power is your faith. That power that's working in you is the faith you have in his word, because his word has all the power. The word is the power. The word is the power. And you believe the word, but you have to believe it by faith. You have to believe it in your heart. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Where did I leave off? Unto him that is... And to him, God the Father, be glory to in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. Are y'all serious believers? Let me ask you a question. Are you all serious about going to heaven?
Amen.
Okay. This is the deal. I believe every one of us, if we all died right now, we'll all go to heaven. Okay. This is 2015, November 1st, 2015. Just consider this the first day of your life, okay, in Jesus. Now, do you want to just go on living the way you've always lived for Jesus?
No.
Or do you want to move up?
No.
Do you want to move up into the kingdom way of life? Do you want to move up into the seated in heavenly places kind of life? Mm-hmm. Do you want to move into growth? You want to move into revelation knowledge? You want to move into unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think, according to the power that's working in me or in you? You got to make this personal, see? We can't dump it all on God. God has not made you a robot. And there's a lot of things God cannot do if you don't get busy and do it yourself. He's here to work with you. He's not here. We are. Jesus is not here. We are. See, the disciples did not want Jesus to leave. Oh, please don't leave. He said, hey, it's expedient I go away. If I don't go away, I can't send the Holy Ghost back. I can't send the Comforter back. I can't send the Paraclete back. But if I go away, I'm going to send the mightiest power that has ever hit the planet. And he's going to change everything. There's going to be a change in heaven. There's going to be a change in earth. There's going to be a change in hell. I'm going to hell, and I'm going to strip the devil of the keys and authority and the power that he possesses that Adam delivered to him. And I'm going to be raised from the dead. God is going to do a mighty miracle and set me at the right hand of God. And I'm going to be so highly exalted. And my name's going to be above every name in heaven and in earth. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess, I am Lord. And then he's going to delegate to you, the church, the ability to use the name.
Hallelujah.
Do you want to start using the name?
Amen.
You can't use it if you don't know what you got. It's already been done 2,000 years ago. The church has got to wake up. The church has got to wake up and start believing what God did in Jesus. What did he work in you? Wrought. He wrought something. Glory. Glory. God is getting a people ready. This ain't play anymore. It's the time to go to church and hear a 10-minute snack, 10-minute word, a 10-minute message that makes you feel good is over. It's time to get serious and get on your knee bones and begin to seek the Lord. Call upon me in the time of trouble. I will hear and I will help. Most people don't even believe God hears them. But he does. And it's time to stop preaching, mamby-pamby preaching. Time to water down preaching's over. It's time to wake up. And I'm not talking about beating people up. I'm talking about getting a revelation of what he's done for you. Get a revelation of who he is to you personally. Why did Jesus die for? What did he die for? Just so we could have a nice another country club or get together or a family get together? No, he gave us power. Gave the church power. And that's what we're going to need. We're going to need the power. We're going to need the power. A famine is coming. A famine is coming in the land. A famine is coming in the whole earth. In days of Joseph, there was a famine that covered the whole earth. A great famine. I mean a 7-year stretch of no rain. And all the crops dried up. The animals were dying. There was no streams. There was no water. I mean, we're talking starving to death. There's coming a famine of the word. And I mean, it's just time to get your reservoirs full. Get your reservoir right here. Here's your reservoir. Here's your reservoir. It's time to get full of the word. Anybody ever done any canning? I know you do canning. I used to raise a big garden. I used to can a lot of food. Green beans are my favorite canned thing. You know, I just can green beans. Canned green beans. Canned tomatoes. Canned peppers. Those are the three things I canned every year. I had a big pressure canner. And there's something about putting the things under a vat of water that's boiling and pressurize them. Pressurize them and seal them. Seals it. You ever that pop? You know that's good. It's going to be there for a while, right? We've got to get some word in our can. We got to get it sealed in us. We got to know when to open it up and when to use it. We got to get some revelation knowledge. We got to know how to use the word. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and know how to use the sword in a situation, in a given situation. See, God has given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises we are partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. We are not of the world any longer. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things become new. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and translated in the kingdom of light. We're part of the big family of God. Glory. And God is waking his church up. Isn't it exciting? We're part of the woke up church. Just say, I'm awake. Everybody say, I'm awake. I know he's coming back for a church that's on fire for him. I know that he's coming back for a church that's not afraid to raise their hand and praise the Lord and worship God. I know that he's coming back for a church who knows how to speak to the situations in their life, calling those things that are not as though they are. I know that he's coming back to a church and for a people who have faith. Jesus said, if I come back, am I going to find faith in the earth? And I say, yes, you are right here. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. Now, I didn't plan to preach. I'm planning to teach this morning. But sometimes the preach gets on me. So Matthew 18, 19. Again, I say unto you that, oh, I love this verse. How many times have I allowed this verse to be real in my life? How many times have you allowed this verse to be real in your life?
Amen.
Buddy, I believe this. If any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything. What's anything? Anything. Anything. I've seen people get major, major, major results by believing that right there. And you know who said these words? Jesus said these words. Now, here's the problem I've had. It's hard to find people who can believe with me. Now, I can believe for $10. Most people can believe for $10. Most people can believe, I'm just using money as an example. Most people can believe for a cold. Most people can believe for a lot of things. You know what? It takes time to develop your faith to believe for the big stuff. We have to develop our faith in His Word. Now, how do you develop your faith? By getting to know Jesus. To beginning to know the author and the finisher of your faith. He is the author of your faith. If you don't know the author, you ain't going to know anything about faith. If you don't know the author of a book, and you don't read, if you read a book and you keep reading a book a man wrote or a woman wrote, you will get to know that author pretty good after you read it and read it and read it and read it. Get to know the author of this word. Get to know who wrote this word. Get to know him in a personal way, and your faith will completely take you over. He's the author of the faith. He is the one who wrote this. He said that if two of you shall agree on earth, I don't know about y'all, but I need to agree on some things. I need somebody I can grow up to agree with me. And there's some grown-up believers out there that I can holler at. Hey, I need you to agree with me. I need this done. I need that done. Can you agree? I don't care how impossible it looks. They'll go, yeah, I can agree. I can agree. I can agree. Well, are you on earth? I happen to be on earth. My body's earth. Yes, I'm on earth. We got that down. We got that qualification. Are you a people? Are you somebody? Two of you as another person? Yes. But can you agree on touching this thing that I want to touch on? So if you can find somebody who can agree on that situation and touch and agree. I told a young woman one time who was crying her eyeballs out. I mean, squalling and a bawling and a crying. I was in a prayer meeting. This happened about 25 years ago. I was visiting, and we had a prayer meeting. And it's a Pentecostal country church, but it was a big church. And these people were down on their knees praying. And they were praying. Some were praying loud. Some were praying quiet. But this girl was way over here crying, irritatingly crying, just squalling and bawling at the top of her lungs. And I'm trying to pray, and she's over there squalling. And I'm thinking, what in the world? After a while, you surely you get an answer. You quit crying. Not that I don't have sympathy now, but I did. But I said, Lord, can I help her? I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I believe if you'll let me, I can help her. And the Holy Spirit said, go help her. So I go over there, and I said, honey, I couldn't even get her to stop crying. She was on the floor. We were all on the floor praying. And I said, hey, what are you crying about? And I said, excuse me. And she's like, I'm not kidding. She's like, after a while, somebody crying that loud like that gets irritating, okay? That's my point. So I'm just, honey, what is wrong with you? What is wrong? And she said, I want a baby. I mean, she's just crying from her gut. And I said, okay, is that all? You just want a baby? And she looked young enough to have a baby. That shouldn't be too much faith on my part. You know, if she was a 50 or 80, maybe I'd have to exercise some faith. But she looked like somebody who I could believe could have a baby. She looked to be about 28, 29. So, and I said, okay, well, but first of all, you've got to stop crying. And I used this verse right here. I said, okay, the Word says, do you believe the Word of God? Are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. And I said, okay, she'd been crying for like half an hour. And I said, okay, well, let's just, Can you touch and agree that you're going to have a baby? And there was all these little ladies praying with her, you know, just crying with her. Anybody ever been in Pentecostal churches where they cry for hours at an altar and just cry? They never seem to ever get victory. They just keep crying. Well, sometime if you really believe God, you got to stop the crying. You got to just say, thank you, I got it. So I said, okay, I believe Jesus didn't lie. I believe Jesus meant exactly what he said. And he said, if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Where is Jesus? He's in the name. If you use the name, the power of God is going to show up in the name. The name is the authority on the earth. Jesus gave us power of attorney, and it's a legal right to use the name. It's no different than if someone gave you power of attorney to use somebody else's name. You stand in that person's place. So the name, Jesus said, I'll be right there in the middle of it. I'm watching over my word to perform it. So that's what he said. And I said, do you believe that? She said, yes, I believe it. I said, okay, you got to quit crying. And I said, okay, y'all may not believe what I'm going to tell you happened, but it really happened to me. I didn't expect this a bit more than anything. So I'm on my knees with her, and I took her hands, and I said, now we're going to believe. That's the main thing. We got to agree that you're going to have a baby, and we have to believe when we pray. What's the things you desire when you pray? Believe you receive it, and you shall have it, okay? So I said, okay, we're going to touch and agree that you're going to have a baby. So get ready. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name, we're using the name that I can't remember her name, but she's going to have a baby and she's going to get pregnant. So we're agreeing in Jesus' name. We're just thanking you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, she's healed. And I just thank you that she's going to have a baby. Now, I can't remember the exact words because it's like almost 30 years ago. But the minute I stopped praying, it was as if a bolt of lightning struck between us. It was an invisible power that was so awesome. It was just like a bolt. I'm not kidding. It was like a bolt of lightning. And it hit so hard and so quick that it threw me from, it was even farther. I think, maybe to the wall. Maybe that door over there. See the door? I was probably from here. It slung me like a rag doll, completely threw me completely down the row of that church. It was a huge, huge open space of where they had the podium, and it was a huge area there where they pray. There wasn't anybody there, thank goodness. I'd knocked them out. But I mean, I was physically thrown. Physically, my body was like a rag doll, and I went like this. Talk about being a holy roller. I was a holy roller for sure. And I come to myself, and I'm going, whoa, what was that? And she was smack. The minute it hit me, she went smack backwards, and I went flying across the room. It was like that, forceful. Powerful. And she got pregnant. Now that was just one example. I could many examples, but there's so much power in the name, because the man Jesus has been so highly exalted. And I mean, Jesus, getting to know Jesus, the author of your faith, is the key to walking in power. If you don't know Jesus, get acquainted with Jesus. Just get acquainted with him as a person. Get him acquainted with him as a man, because he is a man. He's a man. He took on flesh and became a man. And we're going to read a little bit more here. Glory. Y'all getting something this morning. Feel the power of God up in here. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Wow, that's a statement. Go you therefore and teach all nations. Did you catch go you therefore? Go you therefore, because all power has been given to me. He's telling the church, go therefore. I'm giving you the ability and the right to go. I'm giving you the commandment to go, because all power has been given to me in heaven and earth. But is Jesus on earth? No, but we are. His church is on earth. Who's the head of the church? Jesus. So he says to them, go you, verse 19, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Acts 4:5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man here before you, may stand before you here whole. This man, look at this man. This man was impotent from his mother's womb, laid every single day by the gate beautiful. All of Israel knew who this man, or Jerusalem knew who this man was. And Peter and John go into the temple to pray, sees him and says to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And he received strength in his ankle bones, and he jumped up and began leaping and praising God. Well, the religious folk don't like that. Religious people don't like this. They don't even like this kind of preaching. But they don't like it because they don't understand the power in the name. They don't understand the author of the faith. They don't know the author of the faith. They know him in a textbook, or they know him in a setting of some kind of a, maybe a seminary kind of setting, but they don't really know him. And they don't know the power that's in the name. They don't have a revelation of the power. They don't have a revelation of who he is in reality, as a personal friend, someone who lives in you, walks and talks with you, loves you, died for you, gave his life for you, someone you can be with you in the time of the darkest times of your life. He'll be there to put his arm around you. But Peter knew him, and Peter knew the power in the name. And he said, in the name, I give you that name. And he told me to rise and walk in the name. So he says to the Sanhedrin, takes him before them, and they were threatened and everything. But boldly, Peter says, you see the man? Let me tell you, be it known, verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, you've been given the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Whole. This is awesome to me. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, here's Jesus talking. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, here's where the greater works come in. A revelation of the power in the name, the authority behind the name, the power in the name. In my name, that will I do. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, that word ask, if you really break it down in the Greek, it really is demand. You can make demands on the name. No different if you've been given power of attorney and you go to the bank and you say, I know I'm not so-and-so, but I'm coming in the name. I've got power of attorney. Here's my papers. I demand that you give me out $20,000 out of the bank. But you're not so, it doesn't matter. Here's the legal proof. I have the name. I've been given power of attorney, and I can sign that person's name. And they have to do it. They have to give you the $20,000, do they not? See, this is a legal thing. Jesus gave the church his name. He didn't give it to everybody. He gave it to the church because he knew the church would care enough to other people to do something right with it. See, people have power of attorney. You have that person's best interest at heart, don't you? A person doesn't give someone power of attorney that they don't care about or they don't know cares about them. You're responsible for the estate that God has put in your care. You're responsible to do the right thing with that power. Can't be running around hurting people with a name. Glory. I don't know if anybody feels what I'm feeling, but I'm telling you, there's a wake-up call. There's a wake-up call coming to the body. You've been given responsibility. And you've been given authority. You've been given the name.
Hallelujah.
A power of attorney has been delivered to the church, and he has a job for the church to do. We got to start making some demands on some things with the name.
Yes. Yes.
Calling those things that are not as though they are.
Yes.
If I ask anything in my name, I will do it. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you. Now here's a real heavy duty thought. Let this mind, in other words, think like this. Have this kind of thinking. Straighten out your thinking. Think like this. Have this kind of mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind did Christ Jesus have while he was here on earth? What kind of mind does he have right now? Let this mind be in you, which was also, there's the word also, in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Really? Really, Paul? Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. Here's the humility part. Here's the part that I think is the most important thing the church is missing. I think the church does not know anything about humility, true humility, how to get low before God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he can exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do you know, as long as you are trying to fix your problem, you're exalting yourself above the name. When you've been given the name, and if you will just take it out of your hands and put it in God's hands, that's the most humble thing you could possibly do. That's humbling. Take it out of your hands, put it in God's hands. That's a humble way of life. That's true humility, because then you recognize He's got more power than you do. He's got more ability than you've ever had or ever will have. Put it in His hands. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He'll exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Philippians 2:5, let me read it again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now here's where people really get messed up. But if you realize that Jesus became a mere man, He stripped Himself of all the glory that He had in heaven. He became a human being. He was God in the flesh, but He did not operate as God, took on the form of a servant in the likeness of men. He was the second Adam. The first Adam, we know, was given tremendous power, authority, glory, walked and talked with God, had a place in heaven with God. And he sold out and became the first Benedict Arnold, and sold and turned high treason against God, and delivered all that glory to Satan. But Jesus came as a man, humbled Himself to the cross, and He got all that back. All of it's now been restored to the church. And I'll tell you what, Jesus has done a lot for the human race. Because He became a man. And He had to become a man in order to do that. And being found in the fashion as a man, verse 8, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name. You know, we just don't understand what the power is in the name. Given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Many, many, many times when I've been in prayer about a situation and something's exalting itself against the knowledge of God, and I know that God is not happy with that. And I know all of a sudden, and you all probably done it too, but I've said it many times and said, in the name. And I could feel the power of God, the anointing of God come out of my belly. And I said, in the name of Jesus, here's my power of attorney. I've been given the legal right to use the name above every name. And I command you to bow your knee to the name. I say, devil, you get out of here in the name of Jesus. You're not over the name. The name's over you. So whatever name you want to name, you tell it to go. It has to obey you if you faith in the name. The author and finisher of your faith, Jesus, the name above every name. We just have to start using the name. How would you like to have an executor of your estate on the earth who would never use your name to get anything done? Never get a bill paid? You'd never get anything taken care of, would you? Oh, I don't feel worthy to use that name. Well, you've been given the real responsibility to use the name. You're ambassadors for Christ, aren't you? Haven't you been given a responsibility? Time to grow up and walk in it and do it. Boy, the devil don't like this. It's just the word. I'm not preaching anything but the word. So being found in the fashion of a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I used to say, Lord, I'm just not going to let that be for nothing. I'm just not going to let what you went through be for nothing. It's just a shame. It's just an outright shame that the church has allowed the devil to walk over his children and make a mockery of what he did and not use the name that's been given to the body. Time to use the name. But you got to do it in faith. Glory. You don't have a whole lot of time here. And I've wasted a lot of time. I've wasted a lot of time on poor me. Poor me. Look what happened to poor me. Look what happened to poor me. You know, the devil uses that to keep us from using the name. Keeps us hindered. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Where is the thing you're dealing with? Is it in heaven? Sometimes you've got to deal with things. God, Jesus did, this is what Jesus meant when he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So if there's something that is needed to, if it's already not allowed in heaven, you can make it not allowed here. We have a right to do that. The key is, what is the will of God? You know, I never, very seldom pray a prayer with attached on the end, if it be your will. If you pray like that, it means you just don't know the will. Because the will is his word. You talk about getting in the word and finding out the will. Find out what the will and New Testament of the church is. It's for you to be healed 100% of the time. It's for you to be wealthy, prosperous, nothing missing, nothing broken. Shalom, shalom. That's his will. That's his will. Peace of mind is his will. Peace I give you. My peace I leave. Jesus came and gave you. He's the Prince of Peace. So if something's robbing you of your peace, you need to deal with it. Stop asking God to come down and deal with the devil and deal with something that's bothering you. You deal with it. You take authority. All power is given in me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and use the name. That's the power. That's where the power is. The devil, I'm telling you what, it's like a bazooka. You can blow the devil from here to China with the name. Isn't it wonderful? I'm telling you, I know the truth. I just know this is true. John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. See, Jesus is called the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and that truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I highlighted that because it is a powerful revelation when you have fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son. You see, Jesus brought us the ability. He bridged the gap between man and God. He is the one who paved the way for us to have a relationship with Almighty God and to know him as Father. Man before Jesus didn't know God. He only knew him as the harsh judge that was going to get him. Now we know God as Father. We have the spirit of adoption. We've been adopted into the family through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Now we cry, Abba, Father. If the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, then now you're part of the family. You're family now. I'm family. I can go boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace, mercy, and help in the time of need. I go boldly to my Father. I don't beg and cry and come as a worm. I'm not an old sinner anymore. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner and I was saved, but I'm not a sinner now. I'm a saint. I'm a child of the living God. And I go boldly. If you've got sin condemnation, sin consciousness, and feel like you're just an old worm, well, then you need to get in the Word and realize who you are. What did he pay for you to become? You're a new creature now. Old things pass away. All things become new. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's wonderful to know who you are in Christ. It's just, don't even think of yourself as an old sinner. Don't even remember your past. You don't have a past in Jesus. Press toward the mark. Forget those things which are behind. Press toward the mark. Paul said, this one thing I do. You know, Paul had to do it. You better do it too. Okay. St. John 17:20. So work on the fellowship. Work on the fellowship. That's what I work on. I work every day on my fellowship, my relationship and fellowship. St. John 17:20. And it's hard to have fellowship with somebody you never talk to. Yeah. Yeah. How do you have fellowship with somebody you never see? Mm-hmm. Well, what have you been doing? I ain't seen you for 2 or 3 months. Well, I don't know what you're doing if you don't talk, if we don't hang out. See, I want to know what God's up to. I want to know his heart. I want to know his heartbeat. I want to know his attitude about something. I want to know what. I always run to God and I consult with him. Let me have your counsel on this. What does your word say about this? What do you think about this? It's, you know, it's just smart to do that. I used to not do that, you know, because I'm so high-spirited and high-strung and I just go get her done kind of person. And now I've started listening to God. Maybe you better stop and think a minute. Do you really want to do this or should you do that? Should I do this or should I do that? I stopped listening to the here and started listening to this brain. Started listening to where the Holy Spirit lives. Oh, I know this is what looks right, feels like, thinks right, looks like, but I should feel it. But what does God say? What's his word say? What if you feel a check or an itchy, bad feeling, don't do it. It just don't do it. Listen to your gut. Trust your gut. That's fellowship. St. John 17:20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. We're the also. We're the also there. That they all, this is a prayer. Jesus prayed this prayer. You can read about it in St. John 17:20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them. See, Jesus was praying. Jesus is praying. Do you know Jesus got every prayer answered 100% of the time? God never said no to Jesus. Do you know why God never said no to Jesus? Because he never prayed anything that he didn't know God would say yes to. And that's a key to you and me. If you would learn what the will is and you pray according to his word and according to his will, you'll never get a no either. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So it's, how's the gospel spread? Somebody had to speak it, didn't they? Pull other feet that proclaim our God reigns. And how can they preach except they be sent? Somebody has to preach this word, and we're all preachers. Everybody better share it with your children. Everybody share it with your family. Everybody better share that you've got authority in the name of Jesus. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. We're gotten by the word. Verse 21, that they all may be one. Let me say one more thing. You think that word is falling on deaf ears? Oh, no, no. 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 I don't care how long you've been praying for somebody in your family. I don't care how long. That word is like a seed that you put it in their spirit. And I guarantee you water that word with prayer. And you water that word with the word. And you pray over and bless that person and love on that person and claim them for the kingdom of God. And just keep standing on the word for them and faith for that and speak life over them. Don't be digging up your seed every day. Oh, that old thing, he ain't never going to get saved. He ain't never going to serve God. Now you just dug up your seed. You plant the seed and you begin to lay hold that's going to come forth. Be a good farmer. Be just like a good farmer and expect that seed to come forth, okay? That word's going to do something in that because it's powerful. The word changes people because it's spiritual. We're all gotten by the word. Everybody was gotten by the word. Everybody. So the words we speak is very powerful. So Jesus had faith that you and I were going to go out and speak the word. 2,000 years ago when he prayed this prayer, that those that believed through their word, he knew those disciples would speak the word that Jesus spoke to them. He only had 3.5 years with them. And he gave them his word. And they afterwards went forth and preached the Lord working with them with signs and wonders. See, the wonders follow the word. Verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Now that's just something just mind-boggling to me. Mind-boggling. The same glory that Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. Jesus is getting ready to go to hell and strip the devil of all authority and all power and take back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he's getting ready to go back into heaven. And he was given his disciples. He was seen 40 days and 40 nights of about 500 witnesses. And before he left, he gave them a few more instructions. But this was one of the last prayers that we have recorded that he prayed. And he says, the glory that you gave me, you're getting ready to give them the glory. Do you know the greatest thing that God ever did was when he raised Jesus from the dead, the greatest miracle? And when he sent back the Holy Spirit to live in a human being's heart. Under the old covenant, no one ever had the Holy Spirit living in them. See, we've got to be God inside minded and know that the greatest power that ever existed is inside you right now. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You know, we've got to stop thinking with our head so much and start thinking with our heart and listening to the Holy Spirit whose heartbeat is in your heart. And he's not going to take you over. He's not going to rule over you. You have to yield your life to him. Just say, Lord, here I am. What do you want to do with me? I had to come to a place in my life where I said, Lord, I don't know what you want to do with me. I'm just one little person. I'm just one little girl from the mountains. I don't talk good. I don't have a great education. I don't have a great vocabulary. I'm not all that good looking. I just want to serve you. And here I am. Just here's my life. What do you want to do with it? Whatever you want to do with it, here it is. Here it is. And I gave my life to Jesus. And I said, here I am. Now, did I just do it one time? No. It's amazing how we keep taking ourselves back from God. Over the path of 47 or 37 years, almost 40 years now, I have had to go back to that point and say, here I am. I've messed up again. Here I am. What do you want to do with me? You know, we for some reason keep wanting to get in the driver's seat, you know, and do it our way. Every day we are faced with choices. Every day. Every single day. And let me just suggest this. So let me make a suggestion. In learning how to walk by faith, we get stuck in doing things a certain way. We've always done them because they'll work. It's what we're used to doing. That's how habits are formed. We've done it over and over and over as a habit. It's my habit to do this a certain way. If it's your habit to come home and do a certain thing after a hard day's work, then it's really difficult to break that habit. And I mean, it could be watching TV, opening a pack of pretzels, or a big old bag of cookies, and just chowing down. Whatever it is that you've indulged in, that's your habit. Or whatever it is that you think it's okay to do. And I'm just trying to share something here with you. Because God has taken us to a different level in our relationship and fellowship with him. And I'm going to challenge the church. I'm challenging you and I today. I'm talking to me too. We've got to walk with God from our own heart's convictions, okay? But if you go to do something that you might just wonder if God's got a higher way for you to do it, is there a higher way rather than whatever it is you do or you and I go do or we do to bring us peace or to bring us comfort? Why not try doing it God's way? Why not try God's remedy for the situation or the problem or the situation or whatever it is? I'm not thinking any certain thing. I'm just thinking that, you know, a lot of times we get stuck in a habit that this is the way I've always done it. Well, why not break out of that habit and do it God's way? Try a higher way of doing it. So if it's your habit of taking a pill or taking a drink to get peace or drink comfort, why not try the Word? Why not try the Word to bring you some comfort? Why not try the Holy Ghost to be your comfort? But that's what he is. He's the comforter. Why not let him bask you in his comfort and step into that kind of comfort? Or if you have a need for a situation, instead of running to somebody to call somebody and tell them all about it, why not do what the Word says and do it his way? Is he afflicted among you? Let him pray and learn how to pray properly, how to cast the care. All these things will be a part of who you are then. It become a habit to you. It's like replacing the old habits with better habits, the right habits. Do you see what I'm saying? And do it all in faith in the name of Jesus. It's a higher way. And you'll feel so, when you get that new habit started and you get that new way of doing something, see, used to be I do this or this, and now I go pray, and I speak to it. Does anybody follow me? Because we all do things that we really know that God would rather us do something else. So try. Try the Word. Try the Word. I'm going to finish this up here. Maybe one, even as we are one, in I in them, and thou in me, and they that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, this takes care of condemnation. I mean, you will never feel like you're no good ever again when you realize what Jesus did, the gift of righteousness. He is so made us one with Him and one with the Father that you can be so connected to what God is involved in, and He can be involved in your life. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Okay, two more verses. No, maybe, yeah, two more. St. John 16:23, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Now, this is a prayer of petition. There's different types of prayer. We've studied that before, different types of prayer. This is the prayer of petition. He will give it you. Hitherto, if you ask nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And by the way, the Lord's Prayer, if you notice, the Lord's Prayer does not have in the name in it. It's really not the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer before He went to heaven. I won't say any more about that. So Hebrews 1:5, for unto which the angel said he at any time. This is one of the most important verses you'll ever study. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his spirit ministers a flame of fire. Verse 8, but unto the son he saith, it's talking about God, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. Verse 10, and Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hand. They shall perish, but Thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as the vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail. But to which the angel said he at any time, set on my right hand until I make Thine enemies Thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits set forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Do you know, I really believe that before Jesus comes, and I don't believe He's coming until this happens. I do not believe He's coming until the church wakes up and knows how to make the enemy their footstool. We've got to know how to deal with the devil and how to walk in victory and reign in life. If you study these scriptures, you're going to want to reign in life. I want to reign in life, don't you? I'd rather be on top of it than under it. Father, I seal this word today. I thank You for Your revelation word to Your children, Your people. Thank You for waking the body up, Lord. Thank You, Father, for giving them the spirit of wisdom. I'm going to pray this over you all. I'm going to pray Ephesians 1, 17, 18, 19. Is that okay? Father God, I ask You to give Your body, Your children, give us this church. Give us the spirit of wisdom. Give us the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of You. Lord, give us the spirit of wisdom, Lord. Give us the spirit of revelation. Father, I charge them with this charge today, and I have claimed them for the kingdom, Father, and I claim every problem in their life, that they will no longer walk in fear of the enemy, fear of lack, fear of want, that they will walk as You called us to walk. And that we've been given the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, the knowledge of You, that our eyes of understanding are enlightened, that we know what is the hope of our calling in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, for Your word. Thank You, Father. In the name of Jesus, we call this done. In the mighty name of Jesus, the name above every name. Amen.